Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the fourth Sunday of Advent.
Through this Advent season, through our Sunday readings and Gospels, the Lord has been calling us to repentance. The beginning, we focused on the Last Judgment to shock us into putting our house in order. John the Baptist came out shouting, "Repent, prepare the way of the Lord." And now we hear the words of the angel to Saint Joseph. He will save his people from their sins. Yes, the focus is on the taking away of sins, even at Christmas. Because in the end, it's not about our earthly liberation from suffering, from difficulties and challenges, even death. These things will pass away anyway. The only real evil, the only thing that can truly keep us from God, from happiness, from love, is our sin. He will save us from our sins. But as one great teacher put it, while he created us without our cooperation, he will not save us without our cooperation. We need to respond. And one of the key responses as we approach Christmas is confession. If we wonder why we may be so spiritually dry and low and weak, if the way of the Lord has become quite rocky and uneven and rough before us, or if we don't feel comfortable at all about our own personal meeting with the Lord if he were to come today, tonight, or if we look at Joseph and Mary and feel despondent, perhaps we should look at our confessional practice. We all need this practice, and need it regularly. The absolute minimum regarding confession is once a year, around Easter. And yet this is not a healthy minimum. It would be crazy to say you could survive on one meal a week, which is true, but it's not healthy. So going to confession just once a year is not enough to keep our souls healthy, well. If we fail to go once a year, then we perhaps have sinned gravely, if we could have gone and should have gone. We also need to go whenever we do fall into mortal sin. Missing Mass on a Sunday with no good reason when we could have gone. A sin of impurity. Seriously gossiping and detracting from somebody's character. These things block out love in our souls, and they require an immediate healing. Some people say to me that they don't sin. Yet we're told in Scripture, he who says he has no sin is a liar, and his grace is not in us. Sins are not just actions, remember, but they can be words, and often thoughts. Also omissions, things we should have done but didn't. A good confession is like breaking a great dam, smashing it apart so that the great torrent of God's love can pour into our souls. It's spiritual dynamite. I remember making a really serious, proper confession when I was about 15 years old, and it had a profound effect upon me. Taking this sacrament seriously burst open my spiritual defences. And it began a process of radical conversion. I wouldn't be a priest now if I hadn't have taken that sacrament seriously then. You see, if we just turn to the Lord a little more, then he will act greatly in our lives, and we mustn't be afraid of this. He will lead us to our true happiness. Some people mistakenly think that mortal sin, grave sin, can be forgiven simply by the I confess at the beginning of Mass. They're wrong. That's not a human opinion. That is the Church of Christ's teaching. And the Church has the power to bind and loose from the Lord. Similarly, some will deny that certain sins are serious. They're wrong. Let's not hide the fact. There are actions, thoughts, words, and omissions which can rupture our all-too-fragile relationship with God. They manifest our lack of love. And this is the teaching of Holy Mother Church. And if we deny these teachings, perhaps we have chosen the way of pride and begun to doubt our very faith. Have we ceased to be Catholic? We may fall, we may be weak, we may sin. This is not the worst thing in the world. God can raise us up and wants to. The most serious thing in the world is the denial of sin, because that can't be penetrated. Embarrassment shouldn't be allowed to rule us or hold us back. We mustn't let shame or shyness keep us away from confession. I guarantee that the priest has far more respect for those who go to confession honestly than those who don't. The priest has heard all the different categories of sin, and he's no regarder of human pride. He has one interest, and one interest alone, that the sin be taken away like a thorn from the hand, and the person be free to live in a holy life. The priest forgets sin so readily. There's a grace of forgetfulness for the confessor, and he's bound by an absolute seal of secrecy for the sins confessed. It's the work of the devil, who ultimately wants to keep us from confession, who tries to block our confessing of sins by telling us that the priest will be scandalized and shocked. When we come to sin, we have no shame, but when we come to repentance, the devil puts the shame back at that point. Or he builds up our pride in thinking we need no intermediary, no priest, no church to have our sins forgiven. These are his infernal lies, which will trap our souls. You see, the one thing that the devil fears is for us simply and humbly to do what Christ commands, confess our sins, to let them out into the open so that they stop festering within us, to name and to claim them, and then be done with them forever. And when we do that, we have the absolute certainty of Christ's words. Whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. We know that our sins are taken away when we receive that absolution, and all it needs is for us to be honest, to say what the categories of sin are, not to go into detail about what was involved, just to say what they are and their number. Honesty and simplicity is the best policy. We mustn't be afraid. The priest is humble when he hears our confession. He'll be very gentle and joyful. The priest himself is a sinner, and he's often been on the other side. He can't just look in the mirror and hear his own confessions. No, he has to do this too, and it's important for him. Christ acts through him in this sacrament, just as he does in the Mass. When the priest says the words, "Ego te absolvo," I absolve you, it's Christ who's speaking those words. It's in his person. Confession is so simple. We just have to be sorry, to want to change, and to say what we've done. The formulas, and they are there, they're given to us just to help us. If we've forgotten what to say, don't worry. The priest can help, and we can ask for help. And time away is no problem. The priest will be delighted if we've returned, and he'll welcome us back with open arms, like the father of the prodigal son. It brings joy to the heart of God when we confess, and the priest feels that joy. Don't put off that greatest feeling of being reconciled. Strike while the iron's hot, otherwise that usual cycle of self-deception will take hold of us. Perhaps the greatest feeling in the world is coming away from confession, knowing that we are forgiven completely and are at one in our relationship with God, that we're fit for heaven, that we're in a state of grace, that light and life have returned to our souls. One of my favourite writers, G.K. Chesterton, when people used to ask him why he became a Catholic, he would say, "To have my sins forgiven." And he said he was afraid of confession because he was fat and he would get stuck in the box. But after his first confession, someone asked him how he felt. He said, "I may be grey and gouty, but I'm just 2 minutes old." And that's what happens when we confess. We are reborn. We are revivified to live forever. There's no greater miracle than that. It is the most important preparation now for the coming of Christ at Christmas. Think of Mary and Joseph. We're told that they prepared a place for him in a lowly stable. Our souls are lowly stables, a bit messy, a bit dirty, a bit neglected, perhaps a bit cold as well. But we can make of our hearts a place for him. We could bring back love. And the way to do this is through confession. We can do many things in Advent. Prayers, fasting, almsgiving, Advent wreaths, calendars, all good and important things. But let's put confession first, and then we'll be ready to meet Christ. Yesterday, today, and forever, in the manger, in our hearts, and when he comes again. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.